Hi, this is Erin.
And this is Jessica.
And this is episode 72 of the Double Knit podcast.
Yay! I'm like, what am I supposed to say something here?
So we've been doing announcements at the beginning, so I'll just do that. My big announcement is that I just finished school. So,
Yay! Meaning finished all of undergrad forever.
Yes. I have two. Once they process my paperwork, I'll have my two bachelor's degrees. This quarter was painful. I won't go into it, but
it's over. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It's done.
And now I have until October to get my grad school application requirements.
I thought you were going to say now you have until October to knit everything in the world.
Well, that too. That's on the list.
See, we were all enjoying you having that handicap of having like a full-time job and a preschooler and school because it made you like produce things at a fast human pace as opposed to some sort of cyborg knitting machine pace.
That's me.
That's you.
Lifelike robot. Yes. So I'll start with some FFS stuff because this is the last month.
Last month.
Good job,
Farewell,
people.
Farewell, Finnish frogs, love.
I'll probably have a thread for next year for continuing things in case people didn't get everything or have more. I think there's just perpetual moreness for this project, but
for sure.
And to congratulate Sally from Idaho.
Congratulations. Hi,
Sally. I was having finals last week, so I didn't get your package in the mail, but I'm putting it in the mail tomorrow, so you'll get it soon.
All right.
And the December prize is
a skein of Luminous from the Sincere Sheep. We just got it at Fiber Gallery, so it's a beautiful, naturally dyed DK weight Paulworth silk. So we will send.
Do you know what the yardage is off hand?
On I can't remember. It's like 300, I think. Oh, I could be making that up. I don't know.
It's some yardage.
There's yarn. It's yarn.
And it's pretty colors.
And Kathy at the shop wove a scarf. Did you see the scarf that she
did? I did,
made?
In the newsletter.
She wove a scarf on a Cricut loom and threw in just like two weft strands in two different colors of Acadia from Fiber Company for a little contrast.
That feels nice.
It's so pretty, and it just worked up. It was so fast, and one skein was plenty of yardage to make a really nice size scarf, and then she washed it lightly to full it, and it's gorgeous.
Pretty.
So,
that. And on the Sincere Sheep board on Ravelry, she has a survey up for her friend who's who wants to poll people about starting a fiber mill in Mendocino County, which is home county. So you can go and take that, and it's just like general questions about like how often you buy yarn, and if you look for local stuff, or if you know, various questions about like where your yarn comes from and how you think about buying it local or you don't care or what have you. So you can do that if you want to. I just thought it was interesting because I was like, oh my god. Hometown area. Very cool. And I was gifted a couple of patterns in the last few weeks since we last recorded. So I wanted to thank Corey, who is I Rock Knits, who gifted me the For Good hat by Megan Williams.
And I would like to thank her too.
That you got it very, too?
Yes, I did.
Excellent. And I already knit one. The purple one.
Oh my gosh.
You said on Monday with the
button, didn't I? Yes.
For my mother-in-law for Christmas. Because
so
I was like.
Fast. Not fair. You weren't even done with school yet. Okay.
It's a super fast pattern, though.
That was very nice. So, thank you.
Thank you very much. And then Natalie Ford. Hi, Natalie. Gifted me her pattern, which is the Pine Hills scarf. And it's like a cool little lacy, gartery scarf.
She didn't send me anything. Just kidding.
And that is in memory of Knit Pearl Girl, who's Carrie. She had a video podcast. I didn't watch it, but I read her blog sometimes. Mm-hmm. And she passed away very suddenly and has small children. And so her thing that she started was random acts of pattern on Tuesdays.
Right.
And you just give people patterns because.
Just so be nice.
I wanted to thank Natalie for that.
Yeah.
And then I was going to talk a little bit about next year's knit along, which has come up and gotten a lot of chatter.
Yeah.
I still think we should do the finish thing or the
fixing
thing, the fixing thing. Cause I have a pile of stuff.
I have a huge pile. So
I want to do, so we're going to do both of these. But the one that kind of came up, the idea that came up in chatter in that thread was, a deep stash knit along.
Yeah.
So kind of open-ended. I've started a thread in our group, Double Knit Podcast Fans. Mm-hmm. So you can go there and see what everyone's saying, how they're going about doing this.
People are free to define deep stash however they want. Like we were talking about it in knitting and someone was saying like, oh, you know, first Sock Summit was deep stash. And I was like, well, the last Sock Summit's now kind of deep stash too because it's been over a year.
Yep.
But like Monica was saying at the ending, like, nope, I'm just talking about first Sock Summit. Okay. So for some people it's, you know, year old stuff. I could probably do like only stuff that's like 5 years old. I have,
So there's kind of lots of stuff out there. Up to you to define what deep stash is for you. I know some people are newer to knitting and aren't going to have stuff from like 5 or 6 years ago.
Right.
I do. And we're going to do it as a 2-month knit along. So if you wanted to do like sweater quantities, you'd have 2 months to do that. So it's going to be like January, February, March, April. And
I can totally do that.
Tasha Bijou Master, I believe.
Yes.
I believe I have that right. She contacted me and said she'd be willing to donate a pattern or something for that.
Cool.
So if you want to donate prizes, I'm going to try and do like patterns and books and stuff like that since the whole goal is to knit.
Yeah, we don't
want to
send people more stash too.
Like, so
here, take this yarn. Now you have to knit it.
Defeats the purpose. And then Nicole over on the Stash and Burn board she's setting up a use it or lose it knit along that's also kind of using like your unloved yarns. So totally double dip. And I know we have a lot of the same listeners.
Yeah. And the idea with that is to kind of use deeper stash, but also to really analyze, like, I've had this yarn for 4 years, why haven't I knit it? And that maybe the root cause is that you don't really love it, you don't really want to knit it, in which case, sell it, swap it, donate it, whatever, get it out of the stash, because
so I think
there's no reason to hang on to stuff you don't want.
Yeah, I think our knit along and that knit along will work really well together, so definitely check both those out.
And then I wanted to throw in a little plug of something I've been doing this month that I have a thread on our board about, which is my no repeat December,
which I've totally been doing and like not posting
pictures. Okay. So basically I've just been wearing a different hand knit sweater every day and I'm not going to repeat for the month of December.
Ariel is doing socks.
And Ariel's doing it as well with socks. And she and I have just been posting our pictures and I've been posting it I've been trying to get it on the Ravelry group every day or so. I've also been posting it to my blog, my Instagram, my Twitter, my Facebook. So
all the things.
So, fortunately with Instagram, I can get it onto Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram with one push of a button. So, and Flickr even.
Way to network your networks.
I know. I've got the social media thing happening. But it's been really fun, but it's going to dovetail really well for me with the Fix-It because there's certain ones, like, I went through and counted to make sure I have enough sweaters. I was thinking I might have to kind of cheat a couple days and have shawls or something, but you know, I'm wearing everything has definitely given me a little chance to kind of evaluate, like, what do I want to change about this? Why don't I wear this more often?
Right.
And you know, it might be like, oh, the shoulders are droopy, or like my Audrey Nuns, like I have got to rip that out and totally redo the sleeves. Like I'm not even going to wear it for this challenge because I put it on and I hate the way it looks in the shoulders. I think it just looks goofy on me.
Yeah.
So that one, you know, so
like,
but it's
too
given
wide
me
or something.
Yeah. The shoulders, I think the way the instructions are written, at least in
you
the size I did,
stitches.
You're picking up too
Sharon
many stitches in the
too.
Sleeve caps. And so it makes the sleeves kind of stand up. And look very squared off, and there's just too much fabric in the top of the sleeve cap, and then too much fabric in the sleeve. The sleeves are just bigger. I think I'm just going to knit the instructions for maybe a size or two smaller on the sleeve.
That's good to
take
know,
up fewer
I think
stitches.
I'm gonna knit that sweater next year.
Yeah, because Metro, which I knit like right after it, is written for the same kind of top-down set-in sleeve, And the pickup rate on that is much, much lower, like much lower. And the fit on that sleeve cap is much better. Much better. So, anyway, but it's been a good chance to kind of look at stuff and figure out, like, what do I want to change about it?
And later, make it more wearable. And later on in this episode, we're going to talk about our top five-ish favorite things we've knit.
Yeah. So kind of, which was an idea given to us by a listener. There's a thread on Ravelry that Erin had started about, like, what do you want to hear us talk about? And one of the things came up was, like, your five favorite projects. So that's where we're starting.
Your favorite sweaters and why, or your least favorite and why. So I think we'll address... we'll address some of the, not the least favorite, but the unsuccessful stuff when we do the fix it.
That'll be a really good chance to kind of delve into it and what we can do to make them better, which is, you know.
Half the problem is diagnosing what exactly is wrong, I think.
Yeah. And also sometimes you're just sort of confuzzled with, like, what do I do with this now? Like, I understand that this isn't good. Does it mean I have to rip the whole thing out or whatever the case may be? So. We'll work on that. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So I have been doing a ton of Christmas knitting, and I'm finally done, pretty much. Which makes me very happy, which means I can finish things for the finished frog and stuff.
Yes.
So I'll talk about FOs first. I knit two bottle cozies for my sister-in-law. She's doing this grad school program at this place called Islandwood over on Bainbridge. And she basically hikes to where she teaches.
Oh, okay.
It's like an environmental education center. I don't think it's a very warm, like...
So, like a water bottle cozy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Water bottle cozies. What did I say?
You said bottle cozy. I was just trying to visualize what kind of bottle.
So, I used the Cocoa Knits basic free pattern that I've knit a couple times. And I got the normal size water bottle, and then I got one of the travel size, which are like half as big, and I just used partial balls from my scrap bag, and I did stripes on one, and then I did one that's orange. It's Malabrigo Rios in the glazed carrot color, and I had enough to finish all of it except for the little neck part that goes around the top, but that's fine. I just did like kind of a slit and...
Yeah.
Blah.
Cool.
So that took up three complete little balls of things,
Yay!
Which is awesome.
Love doing that.
Yeah. And then I knit Burrow, which is from Knitty, for my father-in-law for Christmas. Mm-hmm. I was working on them last time.
Right.
And those are in Tosh Vintage in the twig color.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all blocked and washed and buttons sewn on and everything. And then I knit the For Good hat for my mother-in-law. In Malabrigo Rios in purpurus.
Yeah, it looked like the purple.
I think it's purpurus.
Yeah. I agree.
And that was a partial ball, too.
Wow.
I know. And then I got a purple button to go with it, which was awesome. And then I finished that curly snake, which the way you make it curly is you do a running stitch along the inside. The inside, and then you pull it.
And you pull them.
And Audrey played with it for 5 minutes and pulled it out. It's just a snake, not curly. but she's totally happy with it.
Yeah.
I have a ton of that yarn left. I'll probably make some crazy socks for her or something.
Yeah, she can have knee highs.
And I finished the gentleman's sock and railway stitch. I think we said railroad last time.
Oh,
but
okay.
It's a railway stitch. And I had like... 18 inches of yarn left from those. I don't know. Cutting it close.
That's good.
And that's super old stash. The Regia silk. It feels really nice. and I know that Nicole is knitting those too, because I was listening to her last podcast, and Nicole's knitting them for her brother. But she's talking about how she has to take a bunch of stitches out and stuff, but because Noah has such wide feet. Mm-hmm. That's what I love about knitting vintage socks, because they're all like 80 stitches. Like kind of the men's, even some of the women's socks.
Yeah.
I just knit 80 stitches on a one and they fit him perfectly.
Oh, that's good.
So, which is nice to know, you know.
Yeah.
And I finished Bed Oyster,
which
is for Nikki, who's coming to visit for Christmas.
Yay!
I'm very excited. And that is an Alexandra Tinsley pattern. It's knit in sock yarn. It's a shawl, but you knit it in the round and it's just knitting. So it's this weird funnel shape, and then you steek it. So you have, like, a column of twisted stitches, and then, like, I think 11 stitches in between the column of twisted stitches. Then you don't have to, crochet or anything. You just cut it.
Right.
And then pull the edges and you knot each two ends together for where you cut it, and that makes the fringe. And it blocks out really nice, and you can use the whole skeiny yarn.
Yeah.
Actually, that's I think I was a few stitches short in binding it off, so I just grabbed another dark greenish sock yarn and finished binding it off.
We'll notice.
Yeah. So that turned out nice. Great. I think I might knit one for me. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's a cute little fringy triangle.
And that was from the first sock summit, so I was really happy about that. And then I knit this seed stitch cowl, which is that bluish gray thing right there, for my mother-in-law who's allergic to wool. I had two skeins of Mirasol Miski in my stash, and I just cast on like 30-something stitches and knit it flat and did seed stitch. And then when I got almost to the end of the yarn, I did 3 or 4 buttonholes, knit a little bit more, and bound off.
Mm-hmm.
So I had no yarn left. I just got some shell buttons for that. I don't even care if she likes it. That's what she's getting. She's super picky.
Oh, wow.
So whatever. And I have my mitered crosses on here.
Yeah.
But I finished the actual knitting tonight, like 5 minutes before Jessica got here.
Still have to do the edging.
Yeah, I still have to do the edging, and I still have to sew it together. 12 squares. And I knit that in, the center is in Noro Teo, and the outside in Eco Wool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just have to join it all up, which is going to be a process. And then
are you going to sew it or do the three needle bind off?
Yeah, I think
I did that. It went super fast.
Yeah.
It's not the perfectionist way to do it, but it goes together so fast.
Yeah.
It's nice.
And it's for Audrey because she's probably getting, she definitely needs a big girl bed. She's in a toddler bed right now, and she's so stinking tall. So it's going to be for her for when she gets her new big girl bed, but it'll be fine for this winter since it's finally
winter-ish. We keep ours on our bed so that when, one of us steals too much cover, there's still something warm there to hang on to.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, I should make another one of these. And I was like, not now. Don't plan this again right now.
Kay's changed the pattern around a little bit. I'm basically, instead of making it crosses, it's just mitered squares.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's doing it as a fundraiser. So the original Mitered Crosses was a fundraiser for Mercy Corps after the Japanese tsunami and earthquake. The new one is to fund some sort of food charity in New York in the wake of Hurricane Sandy. She finished it up maybe a week or two ago, and I don't know if she changed the name or if she's... Anyway, but... I was thinking of grabbing that one, too. And I love me a blanket. I don't know what's wrong with me. But anyway, it's fun to do. It's very satisfying to look at, like, that whole expanse of blanket and be like,
garter stitch.
Yeah. it's a fun project.
Once I pulled it out, like, Wednesday or Thursday last week and busted out, like, the last 4 squares or something really fast. So that's, the pieces are done for that, and I just have to do all the finishing. And I also pulled out my old shell shawl, which has not seen the light of day, and kind of an embarrassingly long
time. So that's at the top of the slog list.
Yeah. And that's from Country Weekend Knits, and I'm knitting it in mostly a wool 2-ply, but there's something, 2 other, Jameson and something else in there, the yellow, because... Wool didn't have a yellow at the time.
Okay.
So I finished the sideways edging that you pick everything up from, and I knit like 2 of the sets of stripes. And I'm into the third color. It's a big to-do. It's feather and fan, and it's like 200 blah, blah, blah stitches. But it's on an 8, so once I actually sit down and do it, it's fast. But... Yeah. And I'm like almost done with Basil the Brontosaurus, or Basil. It's a Rebecca Danger pattern, and it's a knit brontosaurus.
Someone had a little stegosaurus of hers.
Yeah,
at Knitters Guild, which is really cute.
She has a stegosaurus, and she has a T-Rex.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about also making one of those, depending on things. And it's in Spud and Chloe sweater on a 6, maybe 7. Mm-hmm. And it's in one of the bright blues and the orange, and that's all scrap yarn left over from other things.
Oh, great.
So I have one full leg done and one almost another almost done. So I have like two and a third legs or something. I don't even know why it's taken me so long, except it has.
Eh, you've been doing other stuff.
And then, right, since I finished the mitered cross square that I was going to be working on during this podcast, that was the plan, I picked up my squirrel sampler mittens, and I'm casting, I cast the second one on, the outer shell part, because I am going to get at least past the part where it says the year by the end of the year.
Yeah.
So they're not different years. That's the goal. That, not that, that I have to finish, goal. But yeah. I mean, they're now on size ones, and the color work goes fast-ish, but there's some really long floats and stuff in there. It's just something I really have to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to show you this.
Oh, yes.
Bear's Rainbow Blanket from Pearl Soho. Guess what? Guess what?
Oh!
Have you seen this?
Yes, I have. Are you serious?
Yeah. So...
What are you knitting it in?
Bear's Rainbow Blanket is a Pearl Soho pattern. It's free. It's... And it's knit in Koigu, the
is
original.
Is it knit or crocheted?
A crocheted.
Okay.
Squares.
Little granny squares. And the kit that they're selling on Pearl Soho
like
is $750 to do it all in Koigu. Right.
So I
you
decided,
just threw it in your scraps?
Yeah, so I decided that's a center. So I haven't done any of the white
cute.
Parts yet. So I've done two, and then I was like, I have to finish this other stuff.
Oh my gosh.
So I decided I was going to do it all in hazelnuts. Because I have a ton of her yarn in my stash.
Wow.
And I... I'm using an E-hook. The pattern calls for a D, but I like it with
See,
this.
See, you know, this is exactly the sort of project I would embark on, and I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, like, four of the things done, and they're sitting in my little whip box, and they have forever.
Isn't that pretty, though?
That's really cute.
So I pulled out the rest. I have a little
That's
bag
really
with...
That's fun.
But each one center takes, like, 30 yards.
Oh, so cool. I have, like, you weighed it?
No, I haven't yet.
That's...
Because
okay.
it's a bigger hook. I'm sure it takes more.
Yeah.
So it's... This, they're granny squares, and basically it's a, you start with a circle and that turns into a square.
Mm-hmm.
And so all the centers are different colors, and then the outside part and the seaming is all done.
Yeah, so in the original, all the little square centers are like, you know, just this huge rainbow of colors, and they're out, then the outer part is done in white.
Right.
And
Wendy of Hazelnuts, she has a naked color that's the undyed, the undyed sock yarn. Base, which is what I'm going to use.
Oh, okay.
So, for the outside.
Cool.
But I'm going to get more of the centers done first.
Yeah.
And then embark on that. It's going to be a huge project.
If you remind, I can get that at the shop, too. So.
Yeah.
All right.
I was
cool.
very excited about
that
it. Because
cool.
I haven't crocheted a blanket in ever.
Yeah.
And maybe I did one for my nephew when he was born. Like,
long time
six,
ago.
7 years
yeah.
ago.
Wow.
He's 3 years older than Audrey. So, at least that long.
A while ago.
Yeah.
Oops.
But I was very excited, and I had to think really hard about whether or not I was going to do that. But I was like, well, I'm going to see how long a square takes.
The way I feel with those sort of things, though, it's like, you know, like I started doing the African flowers hexagon blanket in theory, and I've got like three of them that takes a million different, I mean, you use a bunch of different colors in each one. It's really cute, but I didn't do enough of them for it to become at all intuitive for me. It's, and I'm just not a very skillful crocheter anyway. But yeah, I think I have like three hexagons, and I was just told myself the whole time, like, if I decide I hate this, I can always make it a cushion or
yeah,
a center medallion and something else or whatever. You know, you're never stuck. You can always use the motifs
right.
for something.
But I have like so much hazelnuts in my stash right now that I was like, I know that I will have more of this to use. I'm not going to be buying full skeins thinking that I'm going to make a ton of squares out of one skein.
Yeah. Just
well,
with
I
all
could,
your
but...
little bits and then do something
yeah.
else
and
for the rest of the skein.
And if you've ever seen her setup, like all her colors look beautiful together.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be like they're a couple that are like, what?
Well, I also feel like, you know, my approach to color is some sort of bastardization of a quote from Kay Fassett about, like, if your color scheme isn't working, just add a few more colors.
Mm-hmm.
Because I find that, you know, with something scrappy like that, that if you just keep adding colors, it sort of all starts to coalesce at some point.
Right.
That is really fun.
I'm excited about it.
That is cool.
I haven't done a big crochet project in, like, forever. So,
okay.
How
well,
about you? That
so,
was a lot for me.
Last time I was here, I was knitting a hat out of Retro, which I finished and donated. I finished that cowl out of the naturally dyed yarn that is still a mystery what yarn it was. And so I started it with a provisional cast on, thinking, oh, I'll figure something out with the edging. I had three little skeins. Two were purple, one was blue. So I knit the whole body in the purple, and I'd done the provisional cast on in the blue. And then when I was done, I thought, oh, well, I'll do... I kept going back and forth. I just kept having visions of running out of the blue, though. Mm-hmm. So in the end, I just did like a really basic little crochet shell along the top edge, and then just did a plain like single crochet on the bottom edge. And I'm all done with it, although it's crocking quite a bit, and I don't, yeah. I haven't donated it yet because I'm not sure I trust it to not turn things blue. Because the blue was, well, I think both colors were dyed with indigo. Right. And I don't have a great track record with that. Uh-uh. So that's all done. And then I knit a hat. We were going to the movies on Thanksgiving, and I wanted just something plain to knit.
Argo, right?
Yeah. I'll talk about that later. Okay. So I cast on a plain hat in a bag from my bag of Shetland DK that I have from a felted purse project that I ripped out as part of Finished Frog's Log, and knit it. And when I finished it, it was just kind of meh. It was like, I just grabbed any old needle, but it came out, it was kind of big, it was kind of floppy, it just mm-hmm. didn't have any life to it. And so I decided, like, I'm gonna felt it, like, or at least a little bit. And I tried felting it by hand, no good. I finally ended up running it through the wash with a load of jeans. And even then, I was like, nah, I could shrink this up a little bit more. And so then I threw it in the dryer for like 20, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's really nicely fold, felted now. It didn't shrink anywhere near as much as I thought it would. Mm. So it's still kind of slouchy. It's really cute. It's really warm. It's very...
It's not on your blog.
It's so soft. It's just... It's really mm-hmm. nice. So I'm going to make... Well, you know, the Shetland...
Oh, right.
Once you fold it, it really softens. I mean, you know, it's not merino soft. It's still Shetland wool, but
yeah, I don't mind.
It it's
quote unquote scratchy.
Yeah,
doesn't bother me.
No, but it's much softer fold than it was beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that'll just be what I do with the rest of that bag. Is just knit these plain hats, and then I can fold them and get them all cozy. I'm still Aaron has been knitting all the things. Started to have some wrist pain that felt kind of tendonitis-ish. And so I took off like the last week from knitting just to give my wrist a little bit of a rest. Mm-hmm. And I've just started back up knitting again. So my output is not so great. But on Hepburn, which is a vest from Rowan 44, I've got the back complete. I'm up to the waist shaping on the front, but I really haven't been working on that much at all. I started...
You were working on that on Monday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And then I started Tideline by Bristol Ivy from the Landing book, Cecily Glock McDonald's book.
Huge, enormous cowl.
In Bunny, which I was talking about last time, and I don't even think I've touched it since then. I knit some cup cozies. I think I mentioned that I'd crocheted one for the reusable cups that they're doing at Starbucks now. Mm-hmm. So then I knit one for myself that I felted based on a pattern I found on Ravelry. And then Wes wanted one too, so I changed the pattern a little bit and knit one for him too. Mm-hmm. So mine's out of leftover Donegal homespun from my Carnaby skirt, and his is just from Cascade 220 and my stash. But then I designed a ribbed cup cozy as a free pattern for the shop, which is in the New Fiber Gallery newsletter, which you may have gotten an email, and I know it just went into the mail.
I saw Kathy's scarf on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then also in the email newsletter is what I'm calling the Chic Hunter's Cap. Chic. And Skisel produced they called it like a magalog, like it's this big pretty magazine / catalog. Mm. And on the cover,
I got that at the party thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So on the cover, Cerulea is wearing a hat that's made out of Luxair.
Mm-hmm.
And inside she says, oh, I used this basic recipe and kind of did this. But so I thought, well, I'll you know,
make some
actually
up.
Write it down,
yeah.
You know, write down a version of it. Although I realized once I knit mine that I did mine a little differently than she had done hers. But anyway, so, but it's, you just knit a tube all the way to the top and then three needle bind off across the top, and then take the two corners and sew them together in the center. So it kind of has that like ear flaps tied together on the top mm-hmm. thing, which is where I came up with the hunter's cap thing, except it's in yarn that has like Lorax in it. So it's
sparkly.
Like brown with like a coppery glint to it. And the Luxair is really nice. So I did that for the shop. And and after we had talked about the sideways striped shawl, I went home and realized, yes, part of the problem I was having with it is that there's errata for the pattern for the section that I was knitting that I didn't have when I went on the retreat.
Okay.
So I need to rip that back to the edging and start again. Cool. But I mean, I'd only done like a tiny bit of short rows. I mean, the edging gets to stay. So I'd knit like two or three rows on it. I mean, it's a lot of stitches, but it's not so bad. But I haven't touched that. And I was having a panic though, because we are doing a new swap for Pearly Girls, which is a single skein of sock yarn, make whatever you want swap. And then I started to have all this wrist pain and I thought, oh man, my wrist is killing me. I'm not going to be able to knit. And once again, I'm going to be the jerk who doesn't finish on time. Jessica. It's terrifying me. It's like, if this happens to me, I was just like, no one's going to ever let me swap with them again.
Nope.
I know. It's so embarrassing. So, but I started my project.
Good for you.
And I got a little of it done yesterday, but I do need to take it easy because I'm knitting on like a size 1.5 needle and it's twisted stitch and it's definitely taking a toll on my wrist. So I'm trying to just do a little bit at a time and also kind of listen to my wrist and when it hurts, not work on stuff.
That's a good idea.
So like Erin's knitting right now and I'm not.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You know, I just,
it's the squirrel mittens. It must be done.
So I'm just trying to take it easy. I said something to Kathy at work today and she was like, "You're old." Thanks. I feel so much better now.
Thanks, Kathy.
Which is funny because Kathy is, she's a good decade plus older than I am. So anyway, so that is what I've been knitting.
Alrighty.
And you did allude to that I went to the movies. So yeah. The only movie I've seen in the theater since we last met was Argo. So my older son is like Mr. Movie. Don't know where he got that from. And so he's going to movies all the time. Like every time a movie comes out, he goes with his friends. Uh-huh. So he went off and saw, we were going to see Skyfall, but he went and saw it with his friends already. So then we were like, what do we all see? And he had already seen Wreck-It Ralph. And then Wes took my younger son to see Wreck-It Ralph. And then I still haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph. Anyway, so we were like, what do we do? And so we figured out the movie theater had show times that were like pretty much the same start time for Skyfall and for Argo. So my younger son and Wes went to go see Skyfall. My older son and I saw Argo together. And I thought it was really well done. Like, I did not go in with super high expectations. I am definitely not a fan of Ben Affleck, the actor. But I do think Ben Affleck, the director, is pretty good. Like, I think Gone Baby Gone is really good. I thought The Town was good. I think I even said on the podcast that I thought The Town was really good, except there's this actor Ben Affleck in it who's not very good.
I don't like him as an actor either.
So he's in it, but not to the film's detriment, let's say. And it is, if you're unfamiliar, it's great. It's a story, like a not very well-known story that relates to the Tehran hostage crisis, in which six employees at the embassy were able to escape and took refuge in the Canadian ambassador's home. And so they came up with a scheme to get them out, in which they were pretend to make that they would be scouting a location for a sci-fi type movie, like a Star Wars, which was shot in a desert. It's a fascinating story. And it used a lot of archival footage as inspiration and also tied in some archival things. So it feels really authentic. The art direction is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
They, at the end of the film, they show the fake passports that had been created for the actual people that they got out in 79 or whenever it was. And the accuracy in how they got the actors portraying them, like how much they got them to look like them in terms of their clothes and their glasses and their hair. It's incredible. And they used, you know, like real news footage meshed with new footage. And it's really nicely done.
That's something I liked about Milk too. Cause they, there's a lot of, archival footage in that, right. Which I thought made it feel like you're really there.
Yeah. It was interesting for me too, because I mean, I was a child when that crisis happened, mm-hmm. But I remember it so clearly. I mean, it was 444 days, and I remember so clearly hearing about it. But, of course, I didn't, you know, I understood it about as well as most 9-year-olds understand foreign affairs.
Right.
And so it was interesting to see it again. But just certain things about it really, like, struck a chord with me. Or even that for the intro, it's a Warner Brothers film, and they used the 1979 Warner Brothers logo. That's cool. So the minute the film starts, you're like, you're in the 70s and they're showing you, you know, news from the 70s. And it was really nicely done. I just thought, and it also was nice because it did have a good sense of humor too, which you wouldn't really expect from a like hostage crisis movie, but there's the whole making the fake movie side of it. That's taking place in Hollywood, and Alan Arkin and John Goodman are in it. And they're giving really, you know, much needed comic relief to this really serious, tense story.
That's good. That it worked so well. Too. I really want to see that.
So I thought that was great. But that's the only thing I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I've been watching like Dark Shadows and Supernatural. And I have a date with Ariel when Nikki's here to go see the last part of the Twilight saga. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Oh, but I did want to talk about. Let's see. I'm reading The Wool Omnibus, which I was reading last time.
Right.
And I'm reading Tess of the D'Urbervilles, which is an uplifting story. Not really. Complete opposite.
Yeah.
But I wanted to read the synopsis for Bad Monkeys, because I think I did not explain it very well.
Okay.
So this is what the book description from Amazon says. Jane Charlotte has been arrested for murder. She tells police that she's a member of a secret organization devoted to fighting evil. Her division is called the Department for the Final Disposition of Irredeemable Persons, Bad Monkeys for short. This confession earns Jane a trip to the jail psychiatric wing, where a doctor attempts to determine whether she's lying, crazy, or playing a different game altogether. What follows is one of the most clever and gripping novels you'll ever read. I don't think it's the most clever and gripping, but it was certainly interesting, and it took me a long time to read it, but I was also in school, so that is that. I just wanted to read that so that people would get a better idea of what the story was actually about. And a lot of it takes place on the West Coast, so it's in the Bay Area, Central Valley, and then it ends in Nevada, in Reno. So,
cool.
That's it.
All right, and you know I haven't been reading anything. Actually, that's not true. I read the first three pages of Life of Pi. Yay me.
Go for you.
So, do we want to do our top fives, or do we... Oh, sorry, what were you going to do?
I was just going to say, there's a new Nitty out. That's what I'm going to say about it.
Okay,
I was just kind of whelmed. I was not under or over.
Actually, I liked a lot of it, but let's not get into it now. Go look, new Nitty, lots of cool stuff, but we got other stuff to talk about, so let's talk about other stuff. So, we've got our top five favorite projects ever, and this was... I have 512 projects in Ravelry.
40 or something.
It was very hard to go through all that, but a few things jumped out. So should we go like back and forth?
Yeah. Do you want to start?
Sure. So the one I knew like immediately.
I knew this one for you too.
My Granny Smith Fair Isle. It's my second Elizabeth Zimmerman Fair Isle cardigan that I knit in Cascade 220. The main color is like a Granny Smith green, and there's a lot of like kind of pinks and mauves in the yoke. Mm-hmm. It's the one where when I started to knit the button bands, I realized I'm never going to button this. I'm not even putting buttonholes in it. So there's no closure on it, no buttonholes. It fits me perfectly. I love the color. I love the combination. I get compliments on it every single time I wear it. It is just my go-to, and it's the perfect weight for Seattle. It's like I can wear it pretty much year round. I love it. Nothing, but it's just the one I wear all the time. Love, 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 love.
I knew that was going to be like, I know. Top. So my top is the Acer Cardigan by Amy Christophers, which I think they knit that 2 years ago, I think. Mm. And I knit it in Oriya Canyon Nature Wool in like a forest green color. Mm-hmm. It might just, I think it's called forest green. I have your scraps green.
From that.
Yeah, my scraps from that.
That could be part of my deep stash now. I finally knit that.
Because
it's been a while.
Yeah. In any case, I feel like this was, even with all the sweaters I've knit, like the first really successful sweater I've knit. And this is why. First, I knit a I chose a size because usually I knit like a 43, which would be zero ease. And I knit a 42, which mm-hmm. is native 1 inch. And it made all the difference because I don't really button it up, but I can. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Like, it'll lay flat and not gape in the buttonholes if I do. And the construction was good. My choice of yarn was great. The buttons I chose look good. And even though the sleeves were really tight when I first knit it, like after 2 years of wearing it like constantly, they've loosened up. But also it's a set in sleeve. Mm. And I think that's the thing. I think
like the fit of the set in sleeve.
Yes, I do.
All right.
Like, there's something about, like, I like my round,
is
my easy.
Is it knit in pieces, or you knit the body in one piece and then divide for the front?
Yeah, okay. You do that. So, I just think it's, like, I always get compliments on it, and people don't say, did you make that? They're just like, oh, I love your sweater, which is, like, a really good compliment to get.
Thank from you, people. I made it.
I think the color looks really good, and it's just worn really well. Yeah. It's that, it's Orcania Nature Wool is not a soft yarn. It's kind of like Cascade 220. Mm-hmm.
It's hardy.
Yeah. I've depilled it a couple times.
Yeah.
And it just, like, everything about it I like.
It's a great pattern, too, in that it has, really nice design details in it, but, you know, like, with the, I mean, it's like, is it cable and lace?
Cable
and lace, but it's not all over.
Yeah.
So you get it, like, down the back. And you get it, you know,
in the fronts,
but it's not, so it's not like crazy parade of stuff.
Right. I'm not a fussy person.
Yeah.
At all. like probably color work is the most fussy thing I ever do. I don't like ruffles. I don't really like girly stuff.
Yeah.
And this is like the perfect combination of like interest and plain knitting.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that sweater so much.
Yeah.
So.
Yay. Cool. All right, so my next one would be, I'm wearing them today. My Bayerisha socks.
Oh, yeah.
This is a free pattern that is on Unni Jang's blog, back when she kept a blog, and they are super intricate twisted stitch socks that I knit on, like, size zeros in Lorna's Laces Shepherd Sock, and I just love twisted stitches. I love the look of these. These took forever to knit, but whenever I pull them out, I'm like, I can't believe I made those. Those are so awesome. So, and they're green. And that was the other thing too. I was looking at my list and like everything on my list is green. So, green socks, green sweater. But I just love them, and they were such. That's the other interesting thing too. Most of the things on my list are things that now I love that were like a total drag to knit. Not most of the things, some of the things. These were a total drag to knit. It was a huge challenge.
Sharon has started this too.
Sharon started them a long time ago. Like, yeah, because she doesn't do many socks.
Yeah, she's mostly a sweater knitter.
And so, but it's so pretty. I just love it. I love twisted stitches. I would love to knit myself like an all-over twisted stitch sweater, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I love these socks.
That would make me stabby.
All right, you, number two.
My next thing is Chadwick by Stephen West. And I freaking love, I just wear it so much. And it's funny because the combination of yarns, I used Miss Babs in like a gray color and mm-hmm. Sundara in this crazy, crazy, crazy color called Stomping at the Ritz. And it's like super bright, hurts your eyes kind of fall colors, like oranges and yellows, and kind of some of them have like a greenish tone to them. And if I knit something with just that one yarn, the crazy yarn, I wouldn't have liked it. But the combination of them together and the stripes and the kind of intarsia thing and the garter edge, like all the things together just totally work for me. And I wear it all the time. That's like my go-to thing for color.
Yeah. And the little pop of color there.
Yeah. And it was fun to knit, even though there was intarsia involved. I didn't feel like it was like a pain in the ass to knit. So.
Okay. So my next one is the Psychedelic Squares Afghan. And it's like, I had to include it because, oh my God, it took me forever to knit. It's huge. But it's another one of those things where I look at it and I go, I made that. Like, I can't believe I made that. It was the craziest project. And it took me years of making the little squares. I started it when it was still just the free pattern on, I think it was Sarah Bradley's site. And I started gathering up just this, like, insane quest to gather up Cotton Classic, and I would just find random skeins of it on clearance or scraps of it that people were destashing or whatever, and I would just collect and collect and collect. And then I was really, like, I had no rules in terms of what I would put together. Like, I just, like, put everything together and just hoped for the best. And I even did some squares that are, like, it's usually two color stripes. And I did some squares that are, like, completely scrappy where I did, you know, 8 colors in a square or even changed the striping pattern if I was running out of one yarn or the other, and just went completely, like, nuts on it. But I'd done some of, and it was really perfect at the time. My kids were still little and I was always out and about, so I was knitting them as individual squares, and then you'd sew 4 squares together to make a unit. And so it was really portable. Like, I just remember, like, many afternoons spent in Barnes & Noble children's section knit. And I could knock off, like, 2 of them or something just on a trip out somewhere with the kids, like, walking around knitting them. But it took, like, 88 to make the blanket. So I got a super debilitating sinus infection, I think, right around my younger son's 5th birthday or 6th birthday. 5th birthday it must have been. And, right when Anne and Kay's first book came out, Mason-Dixon Knitting, in which they feature this pattern. And I remember crawling into bed with the book, like, to keep me company when I was ill. And I was like, oh, right. And so I pulled it out, and it just kind of motivated me to finish it. So I finished all the knitting, but then I still had to sew it all together. It took months. I mean,
mattress stitch together?
I had to mattress stitch all the squares together, you know, each 4 sets of squares into the mitered squares, and then I had to stitch all of those together into strips, and then I had to stitch all the strips together, and then I had to pick up and knit the edging, and then the ends took weeks to weave in all those ends in cotton, no less. It went on and on and on. I mean, it was...
That project, like, was done before I knew you, so I don't think...
But I still love it.
Yeah, I've seen it. I just...
And I love the weight of it. It's really heavy because of the cotton. But it's just so... I mean, you can't not smile when you see something like that. It's so crazy. It's so, like, everything all at once. And I do really love it. So that's a fun one.
You do love a good knitted blanket.
I do.
So my third thing is Super Cupcake by Bonnery Burns. Chic Knits, yeah.
Who now lives in the Northwest.
Oh, she does?
Yay! She moved to Portland.
Oh, cool. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So I knit this. I knit the smaller size. There's, like, a super big, like, large circumference one that you can wrap around twice, but I just knit the smaller one.
Is it a brioche stitch?
It's a brioche stitch. Okay. And it's not the yarn over brioche, like the true brioche.
It's knit into the row below.
Mm-hmm. And I love it so much, and I get compliments on that every time I wear it. It's a Malabrigo Rios, which is super soft and nice and washes really well, in the glazed carrot color, which is, I think, probably one of the first things I knit for myself where I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm knitting orange. But I love it, and I've knit one for Monica in the Purpurus color for Christmas and last year. And I got a skein of the Knitted Wit Silky and Plied.
Oh, yeah.
In that bright blue, bright deep blue color. I'm like, this is going to be another one. And I'm not usually a person who knits things multiple times.
Yeah.
So I love it. I feel like it's really versatile. And I actually want to make the hat because there's, like, the short cowl, the long cowl, and then a slouchy hat. Yeah. In that, and I bet that would be really toasty and warm.
Yeah. That's cool.
I love it.
Yeah.
And it's super simple.
Yeah.
I mean, and you can, like, adapt it pretty much to use any yarn. Mm-hmm. I just really like the Rios, like, how it feels on, and it's great.
So my next one is a favorite, but also a tragedy.
Uh-oh.
It's Rogue. And Rogue was... This is pre-Ravelry, folks. Rogue was I think it was the first knitting pattern that I'm aware of that was available as an electronic download. It was written by Jenna Wilson. And it is a fitted hooded pullover with a set-in sleeves? Yes, set-in sleeves, a kangaroo pouch, and a shaped Celtic cable that runs up the sides that goes all the way up to the top of the hood and meets. Mm-hmm. And at the time I knit it, I think it was, I'd only finished one sweater before, maybe two sweaters. So I was still a really new knitter. And it was a very challenging pattern for me. I'd never done any, like I'd never knit a sweater in the round before. It had hems, it had the kangaroo pouch, it had cables. I'd never done any of this before. The pattern, people love to talk about the pattern and say, oh my God, the pattern for it is 19 pages long. But what I always say to people is like, no, the great thing about it is the pattern is 19 pages long. Because up until then, I mean, now it's old hat, like electronic patterns, we're used to them now. And we're used to designers taking as much space as they need to write their pattern. But then patterns were, we were all like slaves to the page and how many columns of paper they got in the magazine or whatever. And so it had written instructions. It had charted instructions. The charts were huge, really easy to follow. It was all spelled out so clearly. There was so much instruction, which was perfect for me at the time because I had no idea what I was doing. And it took me a really long time to knit. And when it was done, it was in green. And I knit it in Mission Falls wool. The first iteration of Mission Falls wool before they decided to go out of business and then come back and then go out of business again. And the color was thyme, like the herb. And I loved that sweater. There were so many challenging things. Like, you're supposed to graft the cable at the top of the hood. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I mean, this is how long ago it was, though. Like, I was babysitting for my best friend's two daughters. So the kids were little enough to need babysitters still. And I tried to graft those cables together, which still is a pretty challenging thing, I find. And then I have so done the hat. I just remember all the details of it so well. And I loved it, and I wore it like crazy. It looked great. All the waist shaping happens in the cable, so the front panel and the back panel stay the same width. Uh-huh. And then it's this shaped cable, so it still has this great waist shaping, but... Mm-hmm. You never change the stitch count in the stockinette portion. Anyway, but the yarn is garbage. The yarn is garbage. And it fluffed and fuzzed and it's so tatty and horrible. I haven't gotten rid of it because I still love it, but I don't wear it because I'm embarrassed when I wear it.
Yeah, I think I've seen you wear it a couple times.
Like when I wear it, I apologize to people for it. Like, I'm really sorry. I know I look all ratty. So I always thought, oh, I should knit that again. I love that sweater. I still think it's a great design. It's a great design. It's a really well-written pattern. It's gorgeous, but stay away from, I mean, Mission Falls, whoops, has gone out of business. There goes my phone. Has gone out of business yet again. And as Judith McKenzie said to me, there's a reason why. So yeah, stay away from that yarn. Bad yarn.
Yeah.
And that was another green sweater.
So I have another cardigan coming up. And it's another Amy Christopher's pattern.
Yay!
She knows what I like.
Yes.
It is the Bailey cardigan. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much live in this cardigan.
You do.
During the weekend. And when I'm out, that's like the cardigan I wear. I knit it. It's super simple. Stockinette, open front cardigan with applied I-cord edging. Even though I really hate I-cord, get it for the sweater. And it's just like super easy. It's the same bottom up construction where you knit back and forth, and then you split for the sleeve, the fronts and the backs, and then you do the sleeve from the wrist up, and then you knit the sleeve cap flat, and then you sew it in. So it's another set in, and just knit it in
ultra alpaca.
Ultra alpaca, yeah. In the charcoal gray color. It like goes with everything I own.
Yeah.
I actually defuzzed it. Really needed it last weekend while I was trying not to study for finals. Or I was halfway done. Yeah. So it's just like, it's such a nice cardigan. It's like cozy and it's drapey and it goes with everything and it's just awesome. My only problem, and this is my issue or my fault, I made the sleeve slightly too long, so I have to fold back the cuff. And I think part of my fixing thing is I'm going to snip it and just pick up the stitches and do I-cord.
A new cuff, yeah.
And yeah, just to make them shorter.
Oh, right, because they're knitting the round.
Yeah, yeah, and you do an I-cord edging.
Oh, yeah.
So it'd be super easy to fix. There's nothing more annoying
than when you have a sleeve that's seamed that you want to shorten, because then that means you've got to, like, take it out of the shoulder. Yes. You've got to unseam the whole thing.
Which is another one of my sweaters. Yeah. I don't even want to think about it.
All right, we'll talk about those later.
So that's a really easy fix. But I love that cardigan so much, and it's like a really good length, and I just followed her instructions, so it was perfect. I think with the sleeve thing too, because it's ultra alpaca, I think it grew as well.
Bit, yeah.
But it doesn't grow anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, I've washed it multiple times and it like reached its maximum growth or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I feel like now I can fix the sleeves and
yeah,
it's all good. It's such a nice sweater.
Yeah.
It's cozy.
So my last one is a tie. I was going to say Celino, which is from Rosemary Hill, from her first Seven Muses collection, Seven Small Shawls to Knit. I knit it in
one. Is that the one with the randomly placed beads?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's interesting. Like, this is a pattern that I nearly went insane knitting.
Yeah.
Because it was that. The randomly scattered beads and the beading on the edge. You're beading practically like every other stitch. It took forever. It felt pretty tedious at the time, but oh my goodness, the end result, it's so beautiful. It just is, again, one of those things where you look at it and you think, I can't believe I made something so pretty. And I did it in a Schaefer Anne in, oh, I can't remember the name of the colorway though, but it's like a really dark, dark, murky teal. Mm-hmm. And it's gorgeous, and then the beads are beautiful on it, and it's got this nice weight to it, and it's really easy. I mean, it's really petite little shawl. I mean, it's pretty much just a scarf, but it's really easy to wear, and every time I wear it, everyone who sees me is like, oh my gosh, what a beautiful scarf. You know, it's just, it's a showstopper. And the other one is sort of the same story. It's Cornflower, which, if you listen to this podcast, you heard me complain about knitting that too.
The slip stitches.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think with that one, it was the slip stitches. I just don't like doing the slip stitch pattern. I just had a hard time finding the rhythm of it. But again, the end result is so
pretty.
I did it in two colorways.
Oh. Sorry.
Santa just arrived with presents. Mm-hmm. I did it in two colorways of Tosh Merino Light. And what I was noticing, I was wearing it today. I've been wearing it like all week, but what I noticed about it, what's so great about doing something in the Merino Light, is that when you flick the end, it's not a very big shawl. And when I flick that one end over over my shoulder, the yarn's a little grabby. So it just stays put.
Nice.
You know, I have like any shawl I've ever knit in a yarn that was like a Tencel blend makes me insane, because you flick the tail around and it just slithers back loose, and it's like you're constantly fighting with it. It's sliding off your neck. This one, it grabs onto your sweater, it grabs onto itself.
Just had a vision of like the shawl, but it's like an octopus or a squid.
Oh, but
just
don't some of them feel like that though? I have one that's almost, I think, that I knit in two. It's another slip stitch one.
Yeah.
Tencel. And that sucker, it is like wearing a live octopus. It is slithering and sliding. And every time I wear it, I'm like, oh, I should have brought a shawl pin with me. It just doesn't want to stay on. But this one, And it's just really ethereal. And the colors I did it in are well water and tern. And pretty so colors. It's just really this gray and soft blue. And it's just dreamy. And it's, you know, you can wear it. It's patterned. The colors are reversed, so you can flip the sides. Mm-hmm. But it's beautifully patterned on both sides, which is also something you can't say about every shawl. And it's just pretty, 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 pretty. And, you know, I'm glad I'm not knitting it any longer. But actually, I think if I did it a second time, I wouldn't have so much trouble with it. I don't know. I just, for whatever reason, I had a glitch with it. And actually, I'm going to totally cheat and throw in one more thing. Because...
Well, that's okay. I have a three-way tie.
I'm wearing... a sweater today, though, that is another one of my, like, all probably right. my most commented on sweater, like, in my everyday life. And it's Coraline by Isolde Teague. And I knit it in
Pure Alpaca,
Cascade Pure Alpaca in an olive green. Okay, laugh at me. And but I thought about it, because when you're talking about the sleeves, like, I knew this would grow a little bit, so I intentionally left the sleeves quite short on it. But I knit it at, like, a rock hard gauge. I knit it on, like, a 3 needle, I think, because I didn't want it to... flop and stretch too much, but it's just a great shape. It's a great length. It has a little bit of interest in the yoke with a smock stitch. I have wonderful buttons on it from Danforth Pewter, which I think you've used these buttons on something.
Yeah, on something too. I don't know what. I don't know.
But
I use a checkerboard one sometimes. Oh, right, dash one. Yeah. Cardigan.
Right. I just love it. It's like And it's another one of those ones where I can wear it, like, almost year-round because it's alpaca, but it's a lightweight alpaca, and the sleeves are only, like, half-length sleeves. And it's open in the front, so it's not too hot to wear.
So my last one is a three-way tie, and they are all accessories. So the first one is the Vampire Boyfriend Socks, which I think is a really silly name, but
is
whatever.
Is it the heart cable?
Heart cable. And that is knit out of my favorite yarn, Hazelknits Artisan Sock. And it was a club color. It's like a vivid, vivid blood red. And I love those socks. And I wear them all the time. And it's a free pattern on Knitty.
Oh, okay.
And they just, like, fit my feet really well. And the cables still look really awesome, even though I wear them all the time.
They're just,
and I don't really have, I mean, I'm wearing my fire weights right now. Might be... a new favorite, but
yeah.
These are tried and true Vampire Boyfriend socks. All right. Love those. And they were fun to knit. And then I have a hat called Catherine by Cecily Glowick McDonald, knit in Tosh DK in the tart colorway, which I was wearing on Monday, my 50 Shades of Red outfit. And that is a very simple, slightly slouchy hat pattern. It's mostly stockinette, if I remember, like it's a super wide rib.
Yeah.
And has some cable twists every once in a while. And it was super fast to knit. I mean, not just for me. I think it would be super fast to knit for lots of people.
Not just for special knitters like me, she says.
And I love the color, and I love that it's like slouchy but not too slouchy, and it like, the depth is really good, and I just, and there aren't that many projects on Ravelry, which I'm kind of surprised, but I think Cecily gifted me that pattern, because I found Errata and Kira. She gifted me two patterns, and that was one of them. I just love the color, and I was like, I should knit another one of these, too, because I love it so much. And that's, like, my go-to hat most of the time.
Yeah.
Is that one. And it just fits really well. I don't know, it's, like, mostly... just ribbing.
Yeah.
So it's super easy.
Yay.
And then the What's Its Bleep cowl, which is just my own made up pattern. It's like a tube cowl. You know, you just permanently cast and then I knit stripes, and it's mostly the color and the yarn base. It's Plucky Knitter Primo Worsted. So it has cashmere in it.
Yeah.
It has a nice heft to it because it's a tube. So it's nice and cozy. And then it's like a super vivid deep blue, and then kind of a yellowy green, chartreusey almost. And there were like one-off skeins that I got out of her
oopsie basket or whatever she calls it. Yeah,
and I just like knit these two or four row stripes until I ran out, and then I grafted that together. I wear that all the time.
Yeah.
And I actually went out with Hannah last night to celebrate sangria.
You weren't celebrating sangria. You're celebrating by drinking. School by drinking sangria. Yes.
And she's like, what is that? And I handed it to her and she's like, oh, yeah, it's super nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
That is cool.
And it was really easy. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it was just super good, like TB knitting. You just do the stripes and then the thing that took the longest, I felt like, was the grafting at the end.
Oh, sure.
It was like 80
That's
stitches.
That's a lot of grafting. Well, you know, it's interesting, like looking at both of our lists that, you know, some of the things are things that are really easy to knit. And some of them are things that are not that easy to, you know, it's like, it wasn't necessarily the knitting experience that makes them like the favorite. In the end, it's really like, do I use it? Do I wear it?
And that's
it?
What I was looking at.
Or do I gaze upon it and feel happy that it's something that I created?
Like, you would have thought that I put my, Print of the Wave stole on there, but that thing gave me so many freaking problems. I ran out of yarn.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I like had to cast it on like a billion times. Yeah. I kept screwing it up. Then I ran out of yarn, and it took me like months to get another skein of it because everyone was sold out. And it was just like, and then I sold the partial skein to Ariel. Like, as soon as I finished it, I was like, get it out of here.
Go away. Yeah.
So every time I look at it, it's just like,
well, it's interesting with like with Celino and Cornflower that I've gotten past the like, ooh, you, and now I can just enjoy it. But, yeah, I mean, I could have easily picked like another dozen projects.
Yeah.
Easily. But those were just the ones where when I was like sort of scrolling through Ravelry of the one that it was like, oh, right, you, I love you.
Yeah, mine are all things that I wear all the time.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, some of them are really easy. I'd say it's like half and half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And they're mostly things like that I would totally do again now too. Like, I mean, I have two of the Feral cardigan, but I could knit that pattern till the end of time. And I would really love knitting another Rogue. It's been in the back of my mind since that yarn started to go south on me.
Damn you, yarn.
Damn that yarn. But yeah, that's fun. That was fun. Thank you. I don't remember
who
suggested that.
I don't know.
But,
talking about like least favorite and most favorite.
Yeah.
So I was looking at my projects earlier, trying to decide. Let's see here.
What would you like to hear about?
Yeah. So keep suggestions coming and we'll probably
I was interested. I thought it was interesting how many people were saying that they wanted to hear more about like Seattle stuff, because I always feel bad when I'm talking about Seattle specific things because I know we have listeners who are like in Australia or in the Midwest or
was the lovely croissant.
There you are.
Croissant.
There you are. Thank you.
Like what we were less satisfied with or why, but we took it to, and I think Archimanda too was what we wear in Love Long after the knitting is
there
finished. So there are like the two sides of the question, but
yeah.
But I think we'll address.
We'll try to go through some more of these. Yeah.
I can tell you one good thing about Seattle. I ate at Barrio last night on Capitol Hill.
I haven't been
there yet.
Like an
upscale Mexican
good.
Place.
Yeah.
It was good.
Oh, yeah.
Strong sangria, which I like.
Well, okay, I'll throw in a few restaurant recommendations that things we've been loving lately. Dot's Delicatessen in Fremont.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a kind of a butcher shop. Also, and then
it's like a charcuterie.
Yes. And, but they do amazing stuff. Like they have a duck, they've been doing, a cassoulet for winter that it's like on a wet, cold night, confit leg of duck and sausage and oh my God, so good. Everything there is delicious. And they have like a whole meat counter too. You can go in and get like pate and sausages and
it's like a meat place. Like it's specialty.
It's, yeah.
Meat
it's
place.
not for Aaron.
No, I am a vegetarian. If you don't know that, or a pescatarian, I eat fish. So
it is a meat lovers restaurant, but they also have the best French fries I've ever eaten in my entire life.
They fried in beef fat or something.
I don't have any idea.
Probably.
They're so good. They're the ones that are like super light and crispy, but just like perfect.
Are they like shoestring?
No, they're like big. But so crispy.
Like steak fries?
Yeah. I mean, but they're cut in squares. But, you know, they're hand cut. They're So good. Dots. Yum.
She's gesturing with her finger toward the microphone.
But another thing that so my kids are like becoming foodies, which is really fun. And actually, Top Chef is on right now, and it's set in Seattle right now, which has got them going, how come we've never eaten at Camlis? It's like, because it's the most expensive restaurant in Seattle. That's
probably one of the only places in Seattle that requires a jacket to eat at.
There's that too.
Plus it overlooks like all of Lake Union and the locks and everything. Yeah.
But
it's on a bluff.
But so fancy. Older son thought for Christmas, it would be fun to go somewhere to eat for Christmas. So we're like, okay, where do you want to go? And he came up with Maono, which is, even if you're a Seattle foodie, this might be new to you. There is a great restaurant called Spring Hill in West Seattle that used to do like one night a week would do fried chicken. And then they've decided to kind of rebrand. Now they're called Maono Fried Chicken and Whiskey. And the chef is Korean American, and my husband is also Korean American. I mentioned that in podcast before, but he was raised in Hawaii, so the food all has this sort of like Korean and like Hawaiian fusion, inflection. Kinda. But it's the best fried. Sorry, more meaty stuff. Best fried chicken ever. But you can get the fried chicken with like the Korean hot sauce on it, and it comes with like kimchi and rice, and it's.
So amazing. A lot of our stuff has to do with food, I think.
Food.
So,
I can talk about food forever.
I live between, equidistant to or from, however you want to say it, two French-style bakeries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's problematic.
Yeah.
They're both really good.
Yes.
So.
Okay, sorry. We've talked way, way, way too long, but.
I'm done with school now.
Yay. Yeah.
So, we'll hopefully get back on like a more regular recording schedule instead of like once a month that we've been doing. And we might be doing one video cast just to show.
I'm trying to talk Aaron into doing a video podcast.
It's not that I'm completely anti-video podcast. I just, I personally have not had time to watch video podcasts. Yeah. And I like to listen to them because I listen to them at work even though I'm not supposed to.
I don't watch any knitting video podcasts actually, but I've been doing like YouTube videos for makeup stuff. But it would be a really good one. I saw Nicole had said that she'd be interested to hear about like color work technique.
Right.
So maybe if we stockpile a few things of technical things people want to hear about,
right,
that would be an excellent thing to do in the video format where you can see what we're doing. Because, right, you know, mostly we're just like gesturing at the microphone and that's not
helpful.
Instructive as seeing.
And also to show what's wrong with sweaters and how we're going to possibly fix them.
Right. So
that's easier to see.
There are a few things the visual media might help with.
So there may be a few of those next year.
No
promises. We're not going to be completely
video cast. We're not switching over to video.
No, we like the audio thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Plus, you don't have to see my apartment. So.
We could film at the shop or something.
Oh, yeah.
That'd
with yarn.
To do.
Yeah, we could do that. You have a key.
I have a key. We can go film at the shop.
Okay. So that's it. Everyone have a happy holiday. Happy Hanukkah to those of you who are of that persuasion. And we will be back soon.
Yes.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.
Sense. Just a visitor, you see, so much wanting to be seen. She'd open up the doors and maybe carry us away. It's the customary thing to say or do to a disappointed proud man in his grief. And on Friday she'd be there, but on Mondays not at all. Just casually appearing from the clock across the hall. Here it goes. Thank you. I'm sure I'm coming.